You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Right Side Radio. I'm Jay Holland, sitting in for Senator Phil Williams, or he goes by Chairman Phil Williams. So, you know, any way you want to go, the guy's got it going on. And it's a great little radio program he has as well, too. It's on, several major stations in Alabama, and we really appreciate him for his conservative, strong conservative stand and for being right. Right Side Radio is aptly properly named. Well, I want to take a couple, just about a minute for myself here. And I've mentioned this a couple of times already, about me being on the big wax here in Gadsden for a long, long, long time. My dad and mom would listen to me in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. But dad passed away June 28th, so he was 86 years old, born November 21st, 1935, died June 29th, 2013. And he was a great influence on my life, especially early on. He started me working with him when I was 11 years old. I was an electrician's helper. So while all my friends were out playing and partying and swimming at the rec, playing basketball, I was on the truck with my dad. Working. Taught me a lot, and I just wanted to acknowledge that he's no longer around to listen anymore. He probably would be listening right now if he were here. But a great chapter in my life closed at the end of June. So we'll see you later, Dad. Right Side Radio, it's a little after 4 o'clock, last hour, and we want to go right back to the text, and then we'll take a few phone calls as well. Again, the number, 833-687-4448. Marcus from Huntsville, my problem is we know they cheated abundantly last time, relatively nothing was done about it. So why do we think that's going to keep them from doing it again when they weren't stopped and punished the last time? Well, that's a great question, Marcus, and they will do it again. They've been doing it. It's historic. I mean, these people know how to cheat. The Democrats, and don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it, and especially characters out there like Kareem. The Democrats were the one that wrote Jim Crow into the Constitution of the great state of Alabama in 1901. It was the Democrats that had all the voting, problems in the early 1900s with blacks and poll taxes. And it was the Democrats that did all that. Don't give all that stuff to me, Kareem, about all this stuff that the Democrats have not been charged with anything. It's not ridiculous. It's just not even feasible for you to believe otherwise. If you're going to be a realist, you know, like you claim to be, Kareem, you need to understand that it was the Democrats that perpetrated all of this mischief on black people in this country. That's a fact. So, you know, I understand you're passionate, and I understand, and that's good. You know, you need to be passionate about the party, but not to the point where you're protecting something that you really should know better than to protect. The Democrats don't deserve protection. They deserve prosecution. That's what they deserve, because that's what they did to blacks in this country for many, 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 many decades. So that's just the way it is. And Marcus is right to question them. All right, John from Huntsville. Let's see if we can bring this up a little better. Jay, you're doing an awesome job. Wow, thanks. I think what happened in the 2020 election was that they already counted over 95% of the votes and saw Biden was way behind. And that's when the vote suddenly came out, came to a halt. That's right. That happened about 2 in the morning. Remember all that stuff in Wisconsin and in Michigan and all that? And they started getting all the fake ballots together. And then many hours later, ballots started rolling in for Biden. And there were very few Donald Trump votes left to counter. It's probably true, John. Glenn from Bluntsville, Alabama says, why does it take 2 to 3 weeks to count ballots for our elections, but it only takes a few hours to figure out if someone won the Powerball jackpot? Oh, excellent point, Glenn. That makes sense, you know? And that's another thing that's very important. People, we've got to get back to election day, not election month. You know, it just takes way, way, way too long. We've got to get back to election day. If you have a election day, an 8 to 12 to 10-hour day to vote, if you can't vote in 12 hours, which is what the polls really do, they open at 7 a.m., close at 7 p.m. If you can't vote in 12 hours, then you probably shouldn't vote to begin with. So we've got to get back to election day and cut out most of this mischief. If we got back to election day, it would stop a lot of this nefarious Bravo Sierra going on with ballot harvesting and all the other kinds of crazy crap going on in our elections. And we've got to get back to voting day. Attaboy, Glenn. Good point. Then finally, Luann from Huntsville says, there are no consequences to voter fraud. All they have to do is yell and scream disenfranchisement. The Republicans are spineless, except for Trump. All right. Well, let's. I've got one more good one here coming up, so we'll save that one for after the call with Mo Brooks. Former Congressman Mo Brooks is on the line. Congressman? How are you?
Hey, Jay. I'm doing great. I'll tell you, serving in Washington is a soul-corrupting experience. And the longer I've been away, the better I feel.
Soul-corrupting. I had not thought of that term. That's pretty serious.
It's a pretty rough environment. Anyway, as you know, I know a bunch of these candidates running for president. And I've been listening to you all this afternoon, talking about this candidate or that candidate or issues or what have you, as I'm trying to get some construction work done. And I just wanted to share with some folks some insight that I hope that they will find worthwhile. For decades, my primary source of income was as a litigator, an assistant district attorney in Tuscaloosa, district attorney in Madison County, defense attorney, litigated in over 20 states around the United States. Civil litigation. And what that taught me is you have to evaluate your case on a regular basis because that's the best way to advise your client. If you don't know what the odds are prevailing, then you don't know how you should best advise your client on how to go forward.
Of course, yeah.
When you're doing this, you look at four things. You look at the judge and what disposition the judge may have on the case. Is it going to be a favorable disposition or is he opposed to you for some reason? A second thing you look at is the jury pool, makeup of that jury, and what is their predisposition going to be. The third and things you look at are the expected evidence and the applicable law. And those four things are what guide you. Now, with that kind of experience and looking at these three, soon to be four, criminal indictments against Donald Trump, it is my judgment as someone who's been in this business for decades, three decades minimum, that there is a high probability, a high risk, that he's going to be convicted. Now, you can get into a whole other discussion as to whether he's innocent and wrongfully charged or he's charged for political reasons or what have you. I'm just talking about the bottom line and what the probabilities are. And then you've got a Reuters poll that came out just about 10 days ago that said that 45% of Republican voters would not vote for Donald Trump if he's a convicted felon. So in effect, if he's convicted, we are conceding this election to the Democrats, even if it's only 10 or 20%. 45 is a horrible number. Perhaps it'll only be 10 to 20%, but as you know, you take away 10 to 20% of a Republican vote in an otherwise close election, and our candidate gets beat like a drum. And so I hope everybody will think about the risk associated with nominating Donald Trump under the circumstances that he faces. The Republican Party has no plan B. If he is convicted, then if he wants to be our nominee, he is our nominee.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of it. And in my judgment, that is one of the reasons why the Democrats and the news media are working so hard, along with the prosecutors, who are Democrats by and large, to push these trials after the primaries are over with. Now, they'll make some waves and act like they want them sooner, but Donald Trump also wants them after the primaries because he knows they could have an adverse effect on his nomination. And so collectively, after everything is said and done, at least so far, we're looking at jury trials that are after the bulk of the Republican primaries.
Right.
And that's not a good thing. So that's the risk associated with all this. You know, if he's acquitted and that's the best case scenario, then I think he's a shoo-in to beat the Democrat in November. The problem is, given the evidence, given the law, given the judges, given the likely jury pools, in my judgment at least, there's a high risk, a probability, that he won't be able to skate on all of them, that he's going to be convicted in at least one, in which case we've just handed the election over to the Democrats. So that's my two cents on something I hope people will think about as we try to make sure Joe Biden and his kind do not get another 4 years in the White House.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Congressman, it's just been such a dismal performance. You were talking about, you know, the petroleum reserve and artificially keeping the price of gas down. Now he can't do that anymore. It's about gone. So now the gas prices are going back up. You know, inflation has been just terrible. There's a story out today. Biden's Inflation Reduction Act did nothing to bring down inflation. Economists agree. I'll go over that in a few moments. But we're in the tank. It's bad. And I don't.
One of the worst presidents, if not the worst president in my lifetime.
I can't believe that it's gone from a pretty doggone good economy when Trump had it. And, you know, Trump is a controversial guy. He always has been. This is nothing new. Trump is really Trump. You can't really categorize the guy. He's very unpredictable, as you found out. You know, he endorsed you, then disendorsed you.
Three times I found that out.
Golly. I mean, you know, you just can't count on him.
Three times he broke his word to me.
Yeah.
But neither here nor there. That's how it works.
It's Trump, you know. I mean, how do you define the guy? He's a bull in a china shop. But somehow he was able to convince the American public that, you know, he could get the job done. And I think he did do a pretty good job when he was in there. But he's obviously left the door open for these Democrats to do what they're doing. And, you know, I said early on, I said, you know, sling a bunch of stuff on the wall and hope some of it sticks. And I think that's exactly what you were saying. So it's really problematic for the country. I don't know how we get out of this. It's very scary.
Well, the voters have to do a much better job. You know, on the Democrat side, I'm persuaded that the Biden family is really a crime syndicate.
Yeah.
And they should not be nominating someone who has been involved in that kind of corruption that has been adverse to the interests of the United States of America and has enriched their pocketbooks to the tune of $20+ million.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still baffled by how much we have fallen. You know, my introduction to presidents was pretty much Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, me too.
Now, both of those two gentlemen were gentlemen. They were honorable.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a hint of criminal activity with either one of them.
No.
And they were likable individual and charismatic in their own way. Now, Jimmy Carter was just a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, on the other hand, was great as a president.
Yeah.
And look at where we are, where we may have the Biden crime family syndicate on the one hand versus a convicted felon on the other. I've got to believe that both political parties have somebody in the wings who is honorable, who is honest, who doesn't engage in this kind of egregious conduct that can be the nominee.
Yeah.
But right now, it looks like it's going to be Biden. It looks like it's going to be Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your expertise, Congressman, and especially for all your years in Washington. I know you were probably one of the most conservative members of Congress when you were there. You were there for the terrible, congressional baseball game, you know, when shots rang out. And, we just really appreciate all the effort that you made to do what you did. I really, really wished that your Senate bid had been successful. I like Senator Britt. I think she's a lightweight compared to, you know, your conservative credentials. But nevertheless, that's what we have. And I wish you were still back in there. But
well, thank you so much, Dan. It's a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, same here. And I really appreciate you standing in the gap for us, buddy. Thank you, Congressman Mo Brooks, here on Right Side Radio. Well, wow, pretty interesting line of thinking there from the congressman. Also a jurist himself, someone who's been in the courtroom in front of a jury and a judge and knows how to weigh the consequences. So what do you think? We'll take some more phone calls here in the last half hour coming up on Right Side Radio. Phil Williams on assignment will be back tomorrow here on Right Side Radio. So stay with us. We got some more texts to pass along and more phone calls at 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be back. Right Side Radio, I'm Jay Holland. Thanks for joining us here, sitting in for Phil Williams. Got a couple of texts here. David from Huntsville. DeSantis is a wise and energetic man, has an awesome record in Florida, and is, in his time, we've had a president who has served in the military. DeSantis will have a strong leadership style and Trump's type policies. We must move toward or forward and have our best 2024 candidate. Mid-2023 is a snapshot in time that we won't recognize this time next year. Interesting. John C. from Madison says, getting back to go prime. Republicans say something about voter fraud. The Democrats will almost always deny it, or they will say that it's not bad enough to prosecute. That's John C. from Madison. All right. Again, the phone number is 833-687-4448 for texts or for calls. When we come back, we'll take more. Keep it right here. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. You're listening to Right Side Radio.
Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Right Side Radio, Jay Holland sitting in for Phil Williams. Thanks for joining us here this afternoon, last half hour of the show. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
I tell you, our friends at Southern Immediate Care,
Southern Immediate Care, one of the sponsors of our show, they are a chain of clinics that are doing amazingly good work all over North Alabama. They got locations in Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. Their two newest ones are in Chelsea and Hoover, and I hear that more are coming. But you may want to know they are open 7 days a week. They will take all ages. I'm talking about from pediatric to geriatric. You go in there, the staff is always friendly, the place is always clean, and I can just tell you, this is who I use. Southern Immediate Care. I use them in the Gadsden area, and they are always Johnny on the spot. I mean, they are so amenable. They are so everything is so well received, and I never mind going there. Southern Immediate Care. If you need care 7 days, I mean, think about it. Saturday morning, you wake up, the kid's got a fever. What do? Southern Immediate Care. Look them up online. Find the location nearest to you. I'm just telling you. I know the folks that own this chain, and they are amazing people. And check them out. Southern Immediate Care all over North Alabama. Find the one nearest to you and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
Thank you, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio is on the air. Would love to hear from you at 833-687-4448. 833-687-4448. You can also text us at that same number. And we've gotten some really pretty cool texts today from all over the place. So, just let us hear from you in one way or the t'other, phone or text. We have several things. I want to get into this story. Biden's Inflation Reduction Act did nothing to bring down inflation. This is from economists now. This is not just a headline somewhere. But this is on BPR, Business and Politics. And essentially what's going on here is pretty doggone apropos, as expected, as predicted. The inflation rate has been extraordinarily high for the last 40 years. It's the highest in 40 years. And the Inflation Reduction Act did nothing to address the causes of inflation and was instead named as such due to the politics of the moment, according to economists who spoke to the Associated Press. Economists say that the $740 billion legislation was passed 1 year ago on Wednesday, does not deserve credit for bringing down inflation, and President Joe Biden has also come out to say that the legislation was not meant to address record high inflation. According to the AP, inflation reached 9.1% in June 2022. So, even before the bill was signed in August of 2022, the Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, said the legislation would have a negligible effect on inflation. According to a letter by the CBO, to Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. So just another nearly $1 trillion spending package that the Democrats just, loaded up for their own little personal bridges to nowhere and various and sundry projects, quote, that has caused this horrific inflation. Now, it's fluctuated and gone down and come back up and blah, 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 but again, inflation is very simple. Too much money chasing too few goods. So you got too much money in the marketplace. Guess what happens to the price? Yeah, right. It goes up and it keeps going up. There's nothing to stop it from going up. The only thing that's going to stop all this craziness is a recession, and that's on the horizon. They're not talking about it. They won't talk about it because we got an election coming up. But the truth is, the recession is inevitable. You can't have all this money circulating in an economy that, was under control, but now it's obviously not. So it is a real fundamental, basic problem. Too much money in the economy. And guess what? Whammo bammo. It's just the way it is, So, it's You know, all these economists, you know, they defined it a long time ago. I mean, I've got a minor in economics from Jacksonville State University, and I really enjoyed my economic teachers and the textbooks. A very interesting study. It's economics is really basic stuff when you get right down to it. Now, it can get complicated. There are a lot of factors, you know, but what the bottom line is, we had too much money infused into this economy by the federal government, and it started inflation, which the Biden administration claimed to be transitory. Remember all that lying they did to us back in the first part of the Biden regime's administration? Yeah, it was just transitory. Oh, don't worry about it. It's just, you know, it's just a little blip. You know, it's transitory. It's going to be gone, you know, next year. But, well, it wasn't gone next year. Went up as high as nearly 10% inflation, folks. That's crazy money. So, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. It's factual. It happened. It continues to happen. It's going to take a recession to cool this economy off, and that's what's going to happen next. Now we're going to be whining about, you know, everything from stagflation, deflation, and, you know, all the other economic woes on the other side of the inflationary spiral. So this is this cycle. You know, we went through this many times in my lifetime. In 74, we had a bad recession then. You know, we had one in the early 80s and the late 80s, and, you know, it's a cyclical thing. It's going to happen. You can't stop it. It's just the way it is. And so this time next year, mark my word, we'll be talking about, instead of Bidenomics, we'll be talking about stagnation and stagflation and, you know, all these other prices going down. And, you know, nobody's got any money. You know, the price may be good, but, you know, guess what? There ain't no money in your pocket. So it's really, you know, these are consequences, folks. It takes effort to make a stable economy. You got to have integrity. You've got to have price integrity. You've got to have companies that are willing to make a reasonable profit, not profiteering. You can't just make all the money you want forever. You've got to have controls. You've got to have reasonableness. It's not hard because most of the time in the history of this country, we've had a good economy. So we had a really good economy when Trump was in there. I'm sorry if you Trump haters don't like Trump or, you know, you dislike Trump. The facts are the facts. You know, unemployment was low. You know, the economy was soaring. The military was being rebuilt. Everything was happening that was good. You know, we had energy independence. Gas was $1.80 a gallon. You know, I tell you, it's going to be a tough record for the Republicans because Trump, for all of the dislike and the mean tweets and all the wah from, you know, people that just don't like the guy, you know, it's just not enough to overcome the good things that Trump did. So I'm just being objective. I'm not trying to pump up Trump. I'm just saying, compared to what we have now, Trump is infinitely better, totally infinitely better. But, you know, then there's the side like Mo Brooks pointed out a few minutes ago. Trump, you know, is an unknown. He's a question mark. You never know what he's going to do. You never know what he's going to say. You never know about Trump. He's the most unpredictable politician maybe ever. So that's what people don't like about Donald Trump mostly, you know. Now, they like the good things. They like that Kim Jong-un stopped all of his nuclear testing, stopped all of this bull crap going on, you know, because Trump made him back off, you know. They like all that. They like China being tariffed and taxed. They like Mexico being tariffed and taxed. They like the border being secure. Trump did all that. But they don't like is mean tweets. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what they don't like. So, you know, I'm not making any of this stuff up. I'm just an observer. But Trump, regardless of what you think about him, did some pretty doggone good things. And it's the left that is desperate for him to sit down and shut up. In fact, they're trying to make him sit down and shut up legally. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. I mean, we had a litigator on in Mo Brooks a few minutes ago that said, look, you know, chances are at least one of these charges is going to stick. Well, you know, what does Trump do? I think he appeals it to the Supreme Court. And he's got three justices. You know, John Roberts is a question mark. And then the other five, you know, take them or leave them. I don't know what the result of that would be. But everybody is all upset, especially on the left, about the U.S. Supreme Court being Donald Trump's court. You know, so I don't know how all this turns out. But I tell you, looking at Trump's track record and what he's gone through since the moment he came down the golden escalator in Trump Tower, I don't know very many people that could withstand all of the bull crap that's been thrown at him. Do you know anybody else that could stand up to all that stuff? Lying and making stuff up and, you know, two impeachments, not one, but two. You know, an investigation by Robert Mueller, you know, that didn't find him guilty, nor did it exonerate him. But Trump beat it. You know, all this other stuff. How many people do you know that could put up with that kind of scrutiny and still do what Trump does? I want to tell you, Trump, no matter what you think of him, pretty damn formidable. Pardon my French. It's really an impressive legal and political agenda that he's been able to pull off. The legal side on his defense. He's employed perhaps the best lawyers ever, I guess. I mean, how do you beat all that stuff? It doesn't hurt that most of it was lies to begin with, made up by the Democrats out of desperation or whatever you want to call it. But how do you physically yourself go through the kind of scrutiny this guy has gone through when he didn't have to do any of it? I mean, here's a guy who ran for president to help the country. Now, you may not like him personally, but you can't deny what he did. So it's a real dilemma. It's a real dichotomy. It's a real tough spot that America finds itself in. Because on the one hand, you got this guy who, you know, puts out mean tweets and says what is on his mind, you know, and some of it's funny, some of it's entertaining, some of it's serious. I loved the fact that he made NATO pony up. I love that. You know, how many presidents would walk in a country that, you know, belongs to the North American, the North Atlantic Treaty Association, NATO, whatever it means. Let's see. NATO, North American, Treaty Organization. That's it, NATO. How many people do you know that would walk into a NATO country and say, look, you guys aren't paying your 2%. Pony up or else. How many people you know would do that? George W. Bush didn't do it. George H.W. Bush didn't do it. Bill Clinton didn't do it. Now, Clinton did some pretty good things for a Democrat, but let me tell you, Obama sure as hell didn't do it. Pardon my French. Obama just let them do what they will, you know. But Trump said no, pony up or else, you know. Obama controlled Kim Jong-un. Nobody has done that before. I tell you, it's a real tough spot, but there is an election coming up, and this one is going to be very important. Because if the next president doesn't get our economy on track, it's all over anyway. You know, China and their economy is showing signs that they can and probably will flex their muscles in some way. Because Biden has just let them run amok down there in the Southeast Pacific. the Red China Sea is what it's called now. Not this is the China, it's the Red China Sea. But it's very concerning, the things that are going on. So, like him or hate him, Donald Trump has done some pretty doggone good things. And I don't know who the alternative is. A lot of folks like Ron DeSantis. I don't dislike Ron DeSantis. He's a military guy. But, when he was a congressman, he had some pretty questionable votes. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Looks like we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll come right back, wrap up the program. It's been a relatively short 3 hours. But I thank you for listening. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll take the break, and we'll be back. Right Side Radio, I'm Jay Holland. Thanks for joining us here. And we only got a couple of minutes, so I just got a very interesting text. I want to just share this with y'all. Now, this is, I'm not going to give you her name, but she's a very smart political analyst. She's someone who knows not only state politics, but federal politics pretty well. So it's... trust me, she knows what she's talking about. So I got this text, and we text back and forth all the time, you know, our political views and such. And Julie, I'll just call her by her first name. Julie knows what she's talking about. She's pretty sharp. She's very, very much, a political junkie. Julie says, this is why I believe the Republican ticket will win in 2024. The Republican ticket will be Donald Trump for president with his running mate, Tucker Carlson. What do you think? She writes. So I don't know. We've talked a lot about Trump this last 3 hours, but not in that context. That's pretty interesting. So anyway, it's really gonna be interesting the next few weeks. All this stuff with Georgia and these other cases. Mo Brooks mentioned it too, is a litigator. You know, he discussed, and I don't know if you heard all that, but, you know, Mo Brooks seems to think that one of these charges is going to probably stick, at which time I think he appeals that to the Supreme Court, which many Democrats call Trump's court. We'll see. But I think Trump has proven to be pretty resilient legally through all of the stuff in his first term. And again, how many individuals do you know that could withstand all of the craziness that, you know, legally and otherwise, that went on about Donald Trump? So I don't know very many. I can tell you right now, Barack Obama could not do it, nor could George W. Bush do it, nor could Bill Clinton do it, nor could George H.W. Bush do it, and I don't know that Ronald Reagan could stand all that stuff. You know, and going back to Jimmy Carter, you know, the Sunday school teacher, Jimmy Carter, back when Democrats were honorable, you know, Mo Brooks pointed that out. It's true. So, Tricky Dick, are you kidding me? Could he put up with all that stuff Donald Trump's put up with? No way. Anyway, well, we shall see. Enjoyed it, folks. It was always fun to be on the radio back in the day, but every now and then to pull me out of retirement and stick me behind a microphone somewhere is kind of fun. So I hope you enjoyed it as well. Well, until next time, I don't know when that'll be, but, you know, we'll see. Y'all have a great one. Thank you. God bless. Take care. Right Side Radio.
Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
And that's how you do that.